Arizona. Welcome to Jump in Tucson. I am your host, Grant Kruger. Very excited to be with you this morning on a toasty Wednesday, October 2nd. It's already over 90 degrees still out there, staying hot here in the Old Pueblo. But this is pretty normal temperatures for us over here in the Old Pueblo. For those of us that have a very giant patio for a number of his restaurants and pays very close attention to what that temperature looks like at the very end of September, and even really that first week of October, it has always been hot as Hades. Our season doesn't really start until somewhere around October 10th or 12th, when it finally cools off and that sunshine loosens its fiery grip over the Old Pueblo. So while the media is out there making this big deal that suddenly it's so hot at the very end of September, I assure you, as someone that watches the weather like a hawk for the last 15 years with our big patio over at St. Philip's Plaza, this is still pretty normal. Until that first snow or frost happens in the Midwest somewhere, it doesn't really kick off our season here. Now, speaking of the Midwest, last week we compared Detroit, Michigan to Tucson, right? Good, bad, and ugly. And it brought a lot of interesting comparisons, not only in the way that we've governed and the way that Tucson had gone downhill, but in ways that we can also do things better. Looking at where Detroit is today in 2024 is a long, long away distance away from where it was in 2009 and 2010. And part of this comes down to Midwestern hospitality. You may have seen a bit of Midwestern hospitality last night for those who spent some time watching the vice presidential debate. In general, I try not to talk too much national politics over here on Jump In, as I like to keep things Old Pueblo and 520-centric over here. But I think there's something to be said about watching the difference in the presidential debate, where you've got candidates from, you know, the left and right coast, to suddenly a debate held by people from Ohio and Minnesota. And if you notice that dichotomy, that huge difference, there was a lot more getting along over there, right? They were complimentary. They weren't stepping on each other as much. And while certainly I have my opinions about who won that debate, tipping my hat to the attorney who went to Yale, I do think that there's something to be said about having a civil discourse and a bit of Midwestern hospitality, something we could do better here in the Old Pueblo as well, too. Speaking of that, I got a letter this week from Pima County Supervisor Rex Scott, who was reaching out to me about the interview that we had last week with Steve Spain. And of course, he had some differences in opinion about some of the comments that Mr. Spain offered. And I absolutely invited him to come on the show as well, too, and jump in Tucson. And he's going to take me up on that offer. We're going to get him in sometime in the next couple weeks over here before this election cycle finishes and give him his piece as well, too. I'd like to extend an open invitation to really all of our incumbent politicians and civic leaders to come in and jump in Tucson over here. And if it's not with myself, if you're concerned that I might be unfair or a little right-leaning in some capacity, you can bet your bottom dollar that Dr. Ed Ackerley would love to have you over there. Another registered independent, Ted Maxwell or Tom Moulton, absolutely any of the hosts on this show over here, because we are all about civil discourse in Jump in Tucson. And I think that says something about our show, and I think that says something about the Old Pueblo over there as well, too. So that offer is out there to absolutely any of our politicians listening to that one. I'm excited to know, quite frankly, that they're out there listening, that we are making a difference, right? That people are paying attention to what we have to say over here on Jump in Tucson. Now, lots and lots of things are coming up this week in the Old Pueblo. So many events as we get into this first and second week of Tucson, with everybody anticipating the weather is finally going to be great. We are chock filled with events. You've got all weekend Tucson Meet Yourself downtown, a big festival of dancing and arts and culinary prowess running from the 4th to the 6th of September, or excuse me, of October. As well, you've got the Tucson Reptile Show. For myself, who's got a couple of younger kids, this has been an absolute mecca for my children over the last decade and a half. This year, that reptile show happens to be located at the Pima County Fairgrounds as opposed to the Expo Center, a great place to take your kids and show them some interesting exotic animals. And of course, we've got maybe the most interesting interesting coming up over here. There's a major NIL event this Friday, right, called Post Move Arizona. It's going to have Mixmaster Mike from the Beastie Boys. Trackstar, the DJ, is going to come in there and kick some tunes over at Gentle Ben's. We've got Gilbert Arenas hosting, and all this is to drive interest for the red and blue game, the scrimmage for the men's basketball team. To make life even more interesting, we've got a big, big home game coming up this weekend with Texas Tech coming into town at 8 p.m. kickoff against the University of Arizona Wildcats. So there is just an awful lot going on this week and next week, and I'm super, super excited to be part of it with you. On the restaurant front, we've got openings of Ham Bones that opened up a week and a half ago at 2027 South Craycroft Road. Proprietor CJ Ham is no stranger to KVOI over here as a regular guest on Wake Up Tucson with Chris DeSimone, and we wish him plenty of luck in his new culinary endeavors over there. I'm hearing great things about the food, so please go on over there and take a peek at that one. We've also got Victoria Cocina Mexicana opening up in the La Toscana Shopping Center at 7090 North Oracle Road, bringing authentic central Mexican cuisine to Tucson. We certainly have no shortage of Mexican restaurants in Tucson, but I do wish them plenty of success as well, too. And then there's a couple new big entertainment concepts popping up over here as well, too. We've got the Ace Pickleball Club coming at Stone and River, right? That particular shopping center has had some rough run of it over the years, but they're opening up a giant indoor pickleball center that's going to have some food and beverage components to it. And the ownership of the Roadhouse Cinemas has decided that they are taking over the old Bed Bath & Beyond, right, located at Grant and Swan, and they're going to have a little place called Roadies. Roadies is going to have bowling alleys. It's going to have axe throwing. It's going to have food. It's going to have brews. They were initially saying they were going to open up in the fall, and a new sign hanging in front of there is reporting they will be opening up in 2025, whenever that might be. Coming up next, though, we are going to talk all things NIL with an absolute renaissance man in Tucson. He owns a construction company, right? He's a DJ. He's helped put on the Dust Music Festival. He's helped build the Mercado San Agustin. He helped me build Reforma. He's a conquistador. This guy makes it all happen. Page Rep coming up next after the break. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Grant Kruger on Jump In Tucson, 10:30 a.m. The Voice, your home for local news and talk. A little bit of Beastie Boys for you over there and Jump In Tucson this morning. We are joined live with Paige Rep from Rep and McLean Construction. Good morning, Paige.
Hey, Grant. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey, so with all the things you got going on over here, I was telling our listeners about how you own Sidecar, right? You're a construction company, a DJ, a true Renaissance man, a conquistador. You are putting on an NIL event this weekend as well, too, at Gentle Ben's?
Yes, we are. We are gluttons for punishment.
Without a doubt. So break it down for us. What's going on over here?
So this weekend at Gentle Ben's, we've got three national DJs coming in to entertain our guests. What we're trying to do there is bring people in and raise money for the Arizona basketball team through the NIL program. All 100% of every dollar raised goes to the kids. So we're looking forward to having a great time and having a lot of people out there. Players will be there. Coaches will be there. Some surprise guests. It'll be a lot of fun.
So give us an idea of some of these national DJs that are popping up over here, because you can share that information, right?
Oh, of course. Of course. Yeah. Everything's available at ArizonaPostMove.com as well, so you can see more there. But so our headliner for the night is Z-Trip. He is a Phoenix-based DJ. He's world renowned, and just 2 weeks ago he DJed at the VMAs. So, and then we also have Mixmaster Mike. He was the DJ for the Beastie Boys, and I'm sure you've heard of the Beastie Boys, of course. And then our third artist is his name's Trackstar, the DJ. He's the current DJ for Run the Jewels. So these three guys, they're what you would call turntablists. They're more classic hip hop DJs. And but they don't use digital. They're all vinyl. They're all real old school type DJs. So watching these guys perform is unbelievable. They do everything live on the spot. It's these three, if you were to stack them up against the rest of the world, these are three top five, top 10 DJs of all time.
No, that's pretty amazing, Paige. And this is going to be located at Gentle Bends on University, correct?
That's correct. Yep. It'll occur basically right after the Red-Blue showcase.
How cool is that? And of course, we had Rich Pfeiffer from Gentle Bends on just a few weeks ago as well, too, talking about all the challenges, you know, good, bad, and ugly of running a very busy establishment on University Boulevard. And it looks like you guys are bringing in some world-class talent.
Yeah, yeah. Gentle Bends is just, they're a fantastic partner. What they've really just opened up the whole venue for us, and they are huge U of A supporters as well. So I think synergistically, it all just works out. We all have the same goal. We all want Arizona to get back to that Final Four. You know, that's you know, the basketball team and the football team and college sports in general means so much in Tucson. But you know, a lot of Tucson's pride and joy is right there in that basketball team that plays in McHale.
So what can Tucsonans do to support this event? How do they get out there and participate either in this post-move event or help out the University of Arizona in their NIL efforts?
So specifically for this event, you can join us after the game at Gentle Bends. You can get your tickets at arizonapostmove.com. Or just in general, you know, if you wanted to help the NIL efforts, you can sign up for programs like Arizona Assist or Desert Takeover or Wildcat Holdings or Wildcat Village. There's several different organizations that are involved with the U of A's fundraising efforts to, you know, to help support these kids. So some of the easiest ones, though, I think would be to come out to this event or, you know, maybe to sign up for Arizona Assist or something like that.
For those listeners that aren't familiar with Paige Rep live on the line with me over here from Rep and McLean Construction, you may have seen him throwing probably the biggest, coolest tailgate in Tucson as well, too, in front of the double-decker bus that makes its way out on the U of A Mall, celebrating and promoting the Dusk Music Festival as well, too. Paige, when is Dusk this year, and who do we got coming up over there?
Dusk is November 9th and 10th. And this year is our eighth year. It's been growing and growing every year. We're downtown at Hakamei Plaza. It's a two-day event. It's a Saturday and a Sunday. The Monday is a holiday for Veterans Day. So it's going to be a great time, and it always is a great time. And what's great about Dusk is there's kind of something there for everybody. There's great food. There's great art. There's great music. We have 20 national acts that come there. So some of our headliners this year are Cascade and Stevie Aoki. These guys play worldwide everywhere. Cascade was the DJ for the Super Bowl last year. Like, these are big time names. We've got some great bands. We've got a little bit of everything.
No, that's amazing, Paige. And then on top of that, you're putting on the concert for the Conquistadors as well, too, for the professional golf tournament this upcoming March.
Yeah, the Kohlegaard Classic, we have a concert piece that we have as part of the event, and that is also a fundraiser. It turns out all these things that we do are, you know, really just fundraisers to try to support youth sports in Tucson, and that's specifically what Kohlegaard is for, and then, you know, the NIL effort is for our college athletes. But Kohlegaard, the concert we put there, last year we had Midland out at the Rialto Racetrack, and I mean, the crowd was unbelievable. I think you can expect the same thing this year. It's going to be a great show.
So, Paige, how do you find time to fit in all of these fundraising efforts between running a construction company, right, and running a local bar and restaurant? You guys just were equity partners in the Solot Plaza, just opening up on Broadway and the Sunshine Mile as well, too. How in the world do you find time to fit all this in your schedule and still stay married?
Well, put her first, and then her and my daughter first, and then everything else, you know, kind of falls into place. But when you add it all up like that in one sentence, it does make me shrink and wonder how it gets done. But we somehow get it done, and, you know, just a lot of energy, and, you know, just trying to put your passion into something that you love. And I think that's what drives me, is all these things that I do and I'm part of, I really do love, and I do it all for the Tucson community.
No, that's amazing, Paige. We salute you for all of your efforts on this one. For those of you that haven't got a chance to see Paige Rep in action, you know, certainly make your way down to the tailgates. I assume you'll probably be there this Saturday as well, too, at the double-decker bus to promote Dusk.
Of course. That's my 10th job that I have. You know, the tailgate is so much fun because what that does is that brings kind of the entire community together. We are, everybody welcome at our tailgate. That is an incredibly fun time to get out, hang out, and everybody just shares their enthusiasm and excitement about the football team and everything that's coming up. It's going to be a little bit warm this weekend, but it cools down nice, you know, as the sun starts going down. So it's a great time.
And what time does that tailgate kick off this weekend?
Tailgate this weekend starts at 2, and then the game is at 8. So you get 6 hours out there.
Amazing. Well, for those that don't have an opportunity to make this NIL event, at a minimum, do get an opportunity to go check out that tailgate over there. We've got Texas Tech coming into town in a first really big, you know, Big 12 showdown over here. I think this one is going to be amazing. I'm hearing there's going to be a lot of Texas Tech fans in the stands as well, too.
Yeah, I hear those guys travel really well. So I'm excited to meet them. We had a donor trip a couple weeks ago out at Kansas State, and those folks were some of the nicest fans we'd ever met in our lives. They welcomed us with open arms, and we want to do the same thing for Texas Tech. Show them, you know, that we're happy to be in the Big 12 and treat them with some good Arizona hospitality.
Without a doubt.
And also still beat them on the field.
Yes, I like that statement as well there, too. We're still going to beat you guys on the field. We just might shake your hand afterwards after doing it so viciously, right?
That's correct.
No, that's fantastic, Paige. Like, I just can't thank you enough for all the time and effort that you're putting into Tucson over here to make this a better place. Between the Dusk Music Festival's inception, I believe it was 2016. Is that correct?
That sounds right. You would know. You were there on the ground floor. You helped us get this started. I mean, if you talk about people supporting Tucson, you are the pot calling the kettle black. So I'm just trying to keep up with you.
I don't think I can keep up with you over here, sir. You know, like I've only got 4 restaurants, a radio show, and a number of charity boards to run. Like, you've got a far bigger plate over here and just a lot more responsibility with all these. And if I recall, that inception of Dusk was really like just a few friends sitting together and saying, you know what, guys, nothing cool happens in Tucson, right? Like, we're always behind Phoenix for this or that, whether it be a sporting event, whether it be a cultural event or a concert. And you're bringing it. Like, you're finding ways to create cool things to happen here in the 520, which just doesn't happen every single day. And so for that, I salute you for taking the time out of your obviously very busy schedule and away from your wife and daughter to get things like this done. How does NIL play out for athletes? For those that don't know, like any listeners that don't understand NIL over here, can you give us a quickie breakdown on that one?
Sure, yeah. So NIL just stands for Name, Image, and Likeness. So the student-athletes now are allowed to get paid for who they are and what they represent. So you can hire them in the community to represent your brand. You can hire them to do various things for you, or you can just have them represent you. And so that's how they get paid side of it. What's great about it is that, you know, it gives everybody an opportunity to kind of chip in and feel like you're part of the solution to put together a winning team. You know, we all play fantasy football and that kind of thing. And you act like you're a general manager in this regard with NIL. You can kind of put your money where your heart is and support the teams that you want.
That's fantastic, Paige. And one more time, where do our listeners go to find out about Arizona Post Move?
You go to ArizonaPostMove.com.
Amazing. And that's 6 to 10 p.m., right, Gentle Benz?
It's 6 to 12.
6 to 12, yep. I'm sorry.
Yep. And then we've got a few tickets left, so you may be able to pick up tickets at the door, but they are moving. The last few tickets are moving kind of quickly. So
amazing. Thank you so much, Paige. Look forward to seeing you at Friday at the Arizona Post Move event at Gentle Benz. And for sure, I'll see you Saturday out there in the sunshine at the double-decker bus supporting the Dusk Music Festival on the Arizona Mall. This is Paige Rep from Rep and McLean Construction. Thanks so much, Paige, for spending part of your morning with us.
All right. Thanks, Grant. You have a great day. Appreciate it.
Don't go anywhere. I've got Dan Bogart from the Arizona Restaurant Association coming up after the break. We're going to talk all things Tamale Bill and Proposition 138. Welcome back to Jump In Tucson. Thank you for spending part of your Wednesday morning with us. Tomorrow, we've got Tom Moulton from the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance coming up. He's got a number of amazing guests from Nightfall in Old Tucson. Now that it's October over here, it is officially Nightfall season. So he's going to be talking all things Nightfall tomorrow on Friday. We've got Dr. Ed Ackerley, and of course on Tuesdays, we've got General Ted Maxwell from the Southern Arizona Leadership Council. But as we always talk restaurant business over here on my portion of Jump In Tucson, I can't seemingly stay out of the government end of things. We happen to be an industry that's so heavily regulated that we often have a Venn diagram overlap with government officials. And one of the biggest overlaps we're having right now happens to be one of the 13 ballot initiatives that's going to be out there on your very crowded ballot this November. And to help discuss that one, I've got Dan Bogart, COO of the Arizona Restaurant Association, on the line. Dan, good morning.
Good morning, Grant. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for joining Jump In Tucson over here. You guys have had a pretty busy summer at the Arizona Restaurant Association, huh?
Oh, yeah. There's no rest for the restaurant industry, that's for sure. Whether it's finishing up one of the longest legislative sessions in modern history here in the state, or working on the Prop 138, or working with other regulators on changes in the food code and enforcement mechanisms, it's definitely been a busy summer.
So before we even get to Prop 138, there was another attempted proposition out there, right, called Raise the Wage AZ. And this was looking to raise Arizona's minimum wage to $18 an hour and completely eviscerate the server tip credit. What happened to that one?
Yeah, they called it the Raise the Wage Act, but it was being pushed by a group called One Fair Wage, whose whole purpose is to eliminate a tool we have in the hospitality industry called the tip credit. And that's directly linked to the ability of employees to generate and retain their own tips. That measure, they were collecting signatures for over 2 years. When they turned them in, they turned in a fairly low amount, and we challenged their signatures. And fortunately, we were able to get them to withdraw their petition to get that on the ballot, and they kind of admitted defeat that they didn't get enough signatures.
So there is,
unfortunately, go ahead, Grant.
No, I was just going to say, so there's going to be no ballot initiative out there to raise Arizona's minimum wage to $18 an hour. What makes Proposition 138 still so important?
Sure. You know, in that the same press release that One Fair Wage put out that said, hey, we admitted defeat this election cycle, they said in 2025, we're going to come back for the cities and the counties, and we're going to push again in 2026 for a statewide. And the big thing in their proposal isn't necessarily the increase in the minimum wage, although that is a concern. It's the elimination of the tip credit. And that would be a death nail for the hospitality industry in Arizona. The reason Prop 138 is so important this go around is by getting Prop 138 passed, we will stop them in their tracks in trying to do this at the local level and again at the state level in 2026.
Now, we still are going to have a differential minimum wage here on a local level in Tucson. Just a few years ago, Tucson passed its own minimum wage ballot initiative, and it was tied to some set dollar amounts, with that amount moving from $13.50 to $14 to what will be $15 an hour come January 1st, 2025. After that, Tucson's wage ticks up with inflation. And so with the minimum wage going to $14.70 on a state level and $15 on a Tucson level, both ticking up now due to inflation, we're set to have a differential minimum wage pretty much in perpetuity between unincorporated Pima County and the city of Tucson.
That's correct. And Tucson's not alone in that regard. Flagstaff also has their own minimum wage. Theirs is close to $17.60, although I might be getting that figure off a little bit. And you know, the statewide minimum wage is going to be $14.70. And this is another important reason why Prop 138 is so important is when Arizona's original tip credit, which is $3 an hour, was put into place in 2006, it represented 44% of the minimum wage. and there was only one minimum wage throughout the state. Prop 138 switches that stagnant $3 to 25%, so it can float depending on which jurisdiction you're in that has their own minimum wage. So it's a statewide jurisdiction, it's calculated off of the statewide minimum wage. If it's Tucson, it's going to be calculated off of that $15 an hour.
So essentially, this Proposition 138 being a change to Arizona's constitution would trump, no pun intended, the city of Tucson's minimum wage law?
So just to clarify, Grant, it would trump the tip credit portion of the minimum wage law. Prop 138 will not have any impact on the overall minimum wage rate that cities set. But it will ensure that regardless of what those wage levels are set at, the tip credit continues, which is, again, directly tied to the ability of employees to earn and retain their own tips.
To make matters even more complicated for the city of Tucson, we're going to have a special election, special in parenthetical citations over here, on the second week of March to raise our sales tax another half cent, only in the city of Tucson, which would move up the consumer sales tax from 8.7% to 9.2%, essentially 50% higher than Pima County's 6.1%. What differences do you think, Dan, are you seeing on a statewide level where these differential minimum wages and these differential taxes are causing in terms of economic development? Are we seeing less restaurants in Flagstaff or the city of Tucson because of this?
Oh, absolutely. And it's not just the total number of restaurants. I think you also have to look at what type of products are no longer available. And it's, we can look at other jurisdictions as well outside of Arizona that are even further down this track than Arizona is right now. And what we see is with the elimination of the tip credit and continuous cost drivers being lumped onto the restaurant industry, a lot of areas are moving away from full service restaurants because that's a much more labor intensive product to bring to market. Whereas you'll continue to see several different types of counter service models that can work in those areas. But we're seeing this in Flagstaff. I mean, you can't really go to a full service restaurant in Flagstaff without seeing a significant service charge. And if we keep going down this route, I think you're going to see that prop up in Tucson as well.
Which is so unfortunate because I think so many of our guests enjoy that full service model, right? The hospitality is why we're in this business. I opened the show talking about Midwestern hospitality, right? And a handshake and a looking somebody in the eye and a pleasant greeting. And all of that is going to be replaced by iPads or AI drive-thrus in some capacity if our minimum wage continues this sort of unprecedented uptick.
Well, you're exactly right. I mean, consumers like the service model. And, you know, we see this over and over again. In fact, I think one of the prime examples of this is, you know, I'm sure all of your listeners have paid attention over the last 5 years or so. The discussion on tip fatigue has really hit a crescendo. The one difference is when you talk to consumers, the one place that they like tipping is in the full service restaurant, these traditional full service hospitality venues. That is where they expect that and they welcome that because it gives them an opportunity to reward the excellent service that they're receiving and have an experience that cannot be replicated under a different model. And I think that's, you contrast that with, you know, for instance, adding a tip on a self-service kiosk at the airport. That's where the tip fatigue is coming in. We're not seeing that in the full service side, and that's because I think consumers crave that experience and very much relish the opportunity to be able to reward that excellent service from their server.
Absolutely. That's part of the utility you get from a full service restaurant experience, right? You get to sit back and be the judge, jury, and executioner of whether that experience is worthy of the tip. And as well, if you want that second glass of wine, you don't have to get up and get it. If you want that dessert, it's going to be offered to you coming back over there. But we've got one more segment coming up over here. Dan, can you stick around and break down 138 just a little longer for us after the break?
Of course.
Absolutely. So one more segment with Dan Bogert coming up after the break. We're going to talk a little bit more Proposition 138 and which way you should be voting on your ballot this November. If you're loving full service out there, don't go anywhere. You're listening to Grant Kruger and Dan Bogert on Jump in Tucson, 1030 AM, The Voice. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. A little hot tamales over there from Santana. That's probably a pretty poignant song over here with my guest, Dan Bogert, COO of the Arizona Restaurant Association. Not only do we have Proposition 138 coming up on your November ballot, we're also dealing with the passage of House Bill 2042, which was the aforementioned tamale bill that has now become law as of September 14th. Are you seeing any changes statewide yet, Dan, on this one?
You know, Grant, not too many changes yet. I think part of that is the rollout of this at the state level was delayed. Now, Governor Hobbs has basically told the Arizona Department of Health Services to get this thing launched quickly. But we haven't really seen on-the-ground impacts yet roll up. But I would imagine those will be coming here in the next couple of months.
It's so odd, Dan, because we got a letter in the restaurant business just a few days ago, right after my last show on September 26th from the Pima County Health Department, warning us about unpermitted vendors operating in unsanitary conditions. And it gave a whole list of addresses out there for my listeners. 1830 West Valencia Road, the intersection of Tucson and Drexel Road, 22nd and Craycroft, La Cañada and River, Speedway and Pantano, and First and Wetmore, amongst others, where there happens to be a number of unpermitted vendors now operating inside of unincorporated Pima County. And there seems to be a war between the county health departments and the Arizona Department of Health Services. Who's in charge of these vendors?
Well, Grant, I think that's a great question. I think they're still trying to figure that out. You know, one of the problems with the way the tamale bill was structured is as that was going through the negotiation process, the counties, the primary regulator for anything that's related to food service, basically had themselves written out of the bill and said, hey, any of this cottage food stuff the state's going to take, promise the state doesn't have the logistical support mechanism to actually have anybody in the field taking a look for this. And I think probably that message that you got from Pima County is a symptom of the problem here is, okay, well, if these people are claiming to be cottage food vendors, the county really doesn't have any tools that they can use. They have to rely on the state. But the state doesn't have any ability to actually go and verify anything. That's a function of the way the law was written. And, you know, the state and the counties are going to have to figure that out amongst themselves.
But, I mean, this bill was signed into law on March 29th, 2024. We've had some time, right? Being October 2nd today. You know, that's a 5-month period, maybe 6 months there at this point that they knew this was coming. And yet it doesn't seem that the state is prepared in any way, shape or form to regulate this.
I think that's correct, Grant. And again, you're talking about the difference between the counties, which have the manpower, that have inspectors that can go out and take a look at mobile units, you know, the brick and mortar units, et cetera. And the State Department does not have that ability. And I don't know what that solution looks like. I did not see anything in this past year's budget that increase the budget for the Department of Health Services specifically in that regard. So I don't know what the overall solution is going to be, but I think the situation they're trying to figure out right now, the situation we're in, is we have this very big gray area that no one really knows who is the correct person to call and who's supposed to go check them out. Can the county even ask to say, hey, can you show me some sort of proof that you're a cottage food vendor? Or does that whole authority fall onto the state? I think everyone's still trying to figure that out. Why it's taking them so long, I don't know.
No, it's literally the Wild West out there right now, Dan. Verbatim, this email from the county says, these unpermitted food operators not only endanger the public health, but they're unfair to our permitted local food truck operators who have gone through the training and expense to properly prepare and serve food safely at events and locations around the county. And yet, we've got a whole host of unpermitted operators that have hit the streets said September 14th. And I think this is just the tip of the iceberg. Yet another challenge in an industry that has so many other challenges out there. But right now, we've got 34 days before this election on November. And I'm seeing signs up all over intersections in Tucson saying vote yes for Proposition 138. Keep restaurants affordable. How would Proposition 138 keep restaurants affordable?
Sure, Grant. Quite simply, it comes down to taxation. When we're talking about the difference between models and restaurants, you have the one fair wage model, which would eliminate the tip credit, and that really forces restaurants to go into a service charge model where the consumer no longer has the autonomy to determine when and if to leave a tip and in what amount. It's kind of a set charge on the bill that the consumer has to pay to cover that additional cost. That is included in taxable revenue. So the consumer's paying sales tax on it, and the business has to pay business income tax on it. Under the tipping model, none of that's the case. The other big difference there is when a consumer leaves a tip, and you know this as a restaurant owner, legally, that is the property of the server who's receiving the tip. The business cannot touch it. They cannot retain it. They can't make use of it in any way. It's legally their property. But under that service charge model, that's not the case. The server has no right to that revenue. So that while we're talking about it definitely will help keep restaurants affordable, the other big part of this is it helps keep that tipped revenue in the hands of our servers.
No, and we did a whole episode back a couple of months ago about this one, about tipping and that tip fatigue, and really what the compensation is right now for our average server or bartender in the full service restaurant world. And this is absolutely a group that's doing pretty well in the current model.
Yeah, and they don't want to see it changed. And that's why you'll see a lot of servers out there doing op-eds, or you'll hear them on commercials talking about Prop 138, mm-hmm. saying, hey, we don't want to see this model change. That's why we need Prop 138, is to protect that current model. And it does two things. It protects the tipped worker and the income that they're earning currently, and it allows them to continue to retain that income. It protects restaurants from unpredictable cost drivers. We're talking about the one fair wage proposal would be a 44% increase in labor costs for restaurants. And then it protects consumers from mandated service charges and massive price increases to cover that. So Prop 138 really protects all three participants in the industry, employees, employers, and the consumers.
Without a doubt, Dan, and we appreciate and laud all of your efforts at the Arizona Restaurant Association to fight for restaurants' rights statewide. This is something that our consumers absolutely want. There is no question in my mind that everybody out there, no matter what party you line up with, no matter where you're at in the world, wants some opportunity to have a full-service restaurant experience and to have that be a value to you, to fit into a price point that's affordable for you. And when we're looking at, staring down the barrel of $18 an hour minimum wage, when we're looking at what a 9.2%, sales tax could look like, when we're looking at the city of Tucson having a much higher wage than unincorporated Pima County, these are challenges to that industry. And so, Dan, we salute you for taking the time this morning to come and jump on Tucson yet again. You're always the man, and we appreciate all your efforts. And best of luck with Proposition 138 this fall as well, too.
Thank you, Grant. Thanks for having me.
And we appreciate you listeners as well, too. We're hoping to stick around in this full-service restaurant business over here. I want to give you that Midwestern hospitality that you're looking for in my establishments and establishments in Pima County and beyond. Thanks for spending part of your morning here on Jump in Tucson. It's been a real pleasure. On behalf of Grant Kruger and the entire staff of KVOI, thank you for listening to Jump in Tucson on 10:30 a.m. The Voice, your home for local news and talk.